Wednesday, November 9th in Singapore, and this is the Make a Force show. And I'm your lead host, Sudarshan. Today we have with us Daniel, Jiasheng, Ambrose, and Isaac, and Donald Trump this one.
Our first topic for the day, Android now has 88% market share.
Ready?
Yep.
wasn't it approaching? It's almost
87.5% of global smartphone market share in the 3 months to the end of September. Some website, Strategy Analytics.
Yeah, I mean, we always knew that Android was like the big leader because they basically took a lot of markets of the main phone that most people use, and they are beating iOS by quite a significant amount.
Especially in the emerging India market.
Yeah, India
like
and China.
Developing countries.
Yeah,
they just
take the whole market whole.
Because of their the accessibility, it's lower cost. Some, you can get Android phones for very cheap.
Yeah,
because
the
of
Android
the,
One project.
Yeah, there was the Android One project which Google did to design a smartphone that any manufacturer could pick up and produce, and it ended up very
quite popular.
Yeah,
quite popular.
They're still making new Android One.
Yeah, so well, since they managed to capture that much of the market, they're definitely gonna have 90%. I can just see it. They're gonna completely dominate in China and India.
Once they
unless iOS steps up their game. Speaking of Apple,
I thought Apple would want to enter this market. Yeah, too.
It's a huge market, you know?
Yeah,
but it's too late already if they want to.
Yeah, it's a bit too late. That's a problem. And also, that also leads to some problems in terms of Android in itself, like the way that they actually have to design their OS to work on different types of phones with different types of things.
Apple prides itself in making premium products. It won't make something that's cheap.
Yes.
Do you remember the iPhone C?
That's 5C. That's not cheap.
Yeah.
5C.
It's still not anywhere close to cheap.
Yes, but that was at a time of making a cheap phone. Was it not?
Yes, it was.
Cheaper phone.
My
cheaper.
Sister had the 5C. Yeah.
It's just the same.
I don't know. I think it worked fine.
Yeah, it's fine. It's still very high performance for what standards you get if you go for a cheaper Android phone.
Yep.
MacBook. Next, we have
the MacBook.
Oh yes, onto the MacBook
Pro.
Yeah.
If we just compare the new 13-inch MacBook Pro, right, to the Razer Blade Stealth, which I have, right, the Razer is actually thinner and lighter. It's about the same size, and it has HDMI full size, 2 full size USB ports, and a Type C port. They added Type C and removed all the other ports, and they weren't able to make it much thinner.
Well, as they are saying, Apple is just becoming a dongle manufacturer that happens to make computers and smartphones.
Yeah, that was the headline of article.
It's true. Apple's like going downhill.
This article it shows this advertisement. It says it's an advertisement for Macintosh from like. I think this is, I have no idea what the year this is, but it's really old. And where it just says like, Windows PCs, right? You have to buy one. You have to pay $150, and then you have to pay $500 for programs. I have to pay $300 for networking cards, and you have to pay $100 for a mouse, $275 for a bigger hard disk, and then the whole point of Macintosh is that it is easy. It's buy one and there's no hidden costs.
That was the initial kind of motive for Apple, and then I think something happened.
This early 1990s, according to this article.
Yeah, we'll link the article down below in the show notes.
And now Apple makes more dongles than anything else.
And then they get rid of the headphone jack, of course.
The worst is you cannot even plug in the iPhone
to the
MacBook Pro without a new cable or
because Thunderbolt, right?
It's USB Type-C, there's no... Those like cheap $5 mounts that you buy at like IT shows, they're not gonna make full Type-C in their mice.
You're never gonna get...
It's just replacing the connector.
They're not gonna do it.
It's just replacing the connector.
They're just not gonna do it until the entire bucket shifts completely to Type-C. It's gonna take a long time.
But phones are already using Type-C.
How many?
Quite a few.
Oh, I think they predict
all the flagships are using Type-C, right?
From here on out, will all be Type-C.
But when do you plug a mouse into your phone?
I have.
You plug your mouse into your phone?
Yes, yeah, 4G. 4G.
But no one does that, right?
I do that. When I'm
it can be pretty
no
useful.
No one does that, right?
Yeah, it's not common though.
Yeah, so no one's gonna bother. It's not worth it from the manufacturing point of view until the whole market shifts, or like at least significant percent of it shifts over. Then they will start doing it. So until then, MacBook users have to use the adapters.
They could just make dongles.
That's exactly what we're trying to avoid here.
But again, like
Apple being such a big company, they are able to drive the market. They will push.
For now.
They will push the market.
Yeah, like until how initially Apple didn't put a CD drive into their MacBook Air.
Yes, and everyone.
And so everyone.
Joining
the game.
I mean, that's what Apple does, but are they
are big enough to drive the market, but that is because they have a large market share. But once people start to not buy it, where they have gone too far.
Yeah, that's the point.
If people think they have gone too far, they will start their market share will go down and they won't be able to drive the market anymore.
And they just become a follower.
Yeah. The new MacBook Pro has Touch ID. Which is like very useful for random security things.
You know my old HP comm also had.
Yeah, but it's
Windows
not
Hello.
It's not like tap, one tap. It's
Windows
slow.
Hello is one tap, right?
It's super slow.
Hello?
You have to rub your hand.
Hello is quite fast.
You have to rub your finger on it.
I think
I was talking about the physical sensor.
Is it quite slow? I think my whole HP was pretty
fast.
It
was fast, but he says touch ID in the MacBook Pro is
just tapping
touch ID,
like any other smartphone.
What's the difference between like just touching something and rubbing
it? Is
it
worth the premium price? That's the point.
It's
a tap worth
it's
the
a,
premium price.
Okay, one thing is
you're paying how much?
Wait.
Don't mind me, I'm just trying to convince Ambrose not to buy a MacBook Pro.
No.
How much are you paying? It's 1,000
500
for base, right?
Not the base. I want the touch.
It's even higher.
The touch bar.
You want the touch bar. So that's 2,000.
Touch bar.
That's 2,000.
All right. Let's talk about the touch bar.
No, it's not 2,000.
It's
1,700 or something.
All right. Let's take a look.
It's 1,000.
Let's talk about touch bar. You know, Apple in their interview with CNET, some executive, they said that they do not want to put touch screens because they think users do not. Take their hands off the keyboard, so they would rather put a touch sensitive bar in front of the keyboard rather than a touch screen. Do you think that is complete BS?
No.
Yes.
But I mean, touch screen is really don't use it that much.
No. People,
with touch screens, use it a lot.
Yeah. People with touch screens use it a lot. People without touch screens think they won't use it a lot. That's how it works.
I mean, I use it a lot on yours, lah.
Like you just
I really don't want to use your freaking like.
Like I was using my sister's MacBook, and I kept touching the screen.
Yeah,
I just searched in between yours.
Using a touch screen for a while,
but does
it start to accentuate touch?
But does a touch
screens.
Screen improve productivity? It doesn't that much. I mean, once you have you have a trackpad better than most Windows laptops.
The
trackpad is not yours. I would. The trackpad is not your like sandpaper or trackpad. I will probably
the
like,
new Surface books and the and they actually have legit trackpads, you know.
What do you mean legit?
The Surface books have decent trackpads. It's definitely not as bad as the Surface Pro lineup, but people still use the touchscreen. They still do.
Not that much.
They do.
It's still easier to use.
It's a huge touch trackpad. It's the touchscreen is literally
a
huge
highlighting
trackpad
for touchscreen.
Yeah, like
yeah,
even
can.
Windows.
You can. That's not the point. Are you all good with it?
It's like you have to press and hold,
yeah,
and then you have to.
It's okay.
Like even Windows has horrible drivers for that. Has horrible support for touching. Even Microsoft's Visual Studio Code has very horrible support for selecting text.
Yes.
Using the touch screen.
Okay. Like, let me rephrase this. Okay. do you think the future will be based on a really, really good touchscreen-based computer or a touch bar and a trackpad? Do you want to be stuck to the trackpad? Or do you want to have an interactive display?
I want a stylus.
Yeah. Yes. Well, that needs a touch.
No.
That needs a screen that can respond to touch.
No, it could just this bar.
That's different.
You can have a stylus without touch. You don't need touch to use a stylus.
You don't need
it's
a
drawing tablet.
Yeah.
Isn't that still a touch sensor?
It brings us back to like Palm PDAs from like 10 years ago.
Oh, no, but they use
stylus
like resistive.
It's like touch resistive, I've won.
They use resistive, yeah. And
that's still a
it's
touch
screen.
I mean, you can, but it's not. No, it's completely different. Stylus and touch.
No, I said a resistive touch panel is still a touch screen. It's that doesn't respond to your touch. It responds to stylus. It still responds to the feeling of touch.
No, I'm talking about touch screen as in touch screen, as in like your phone touch screen.
Yeah, that's different. But that's still under the broad category of touch screen.
I'm not defending.
He's neutral, yeah.
The touch bar, but I'm just saying not a lot of people really use touch screens either.
But think about the future.
Future.
Do
you see Tony Stark using a trackpad?
The future is probably indoctrinate the young to be.
You're saying Tony Stark using a touchscreen? No.
He uses holograms with touch interfaces.
Holograms.
Which is equivalent
to
holograms
with a mouse. Would that make sense?
Wait, for that
hologram.
For that matter,
exactly.
Is it a touchpad?
Different displays require different types of interactions.
Touch screens are intuitive because it is a surface. Oh wow.
Microsoft
I mean, paper,
marketing
you touch it, right? Buttons you press. Right, you do not move something on top of a button and then like press it down. You move your finger directly above it and you press it. It's intuitive.
Also think about when you're using a stylus, right?
For like, even if you think of like primitive or primal human interaction babies, they touch things. They won't move a mouse or a trackpad.
No, they put things in
a
mouth. They put things in a mouth.
Yeah, so the most basic
intuitive
thing is to touch.
But you see, a mouse is just another type of control. And having another type of control doesn't mean that you lose that kind of precision or like,
okay,
or like naturalness.
We can finger paint, but we use brushes.
Yeah.
Okay, finger painting. Brushes just gives us the accuracy we cannot have.
Exactly.
So
mouse. Have you ever tried? Have you ever experienced when you touch something on your touchscreen?
Yeah.
You screw up sometimes.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
You also don't play games with a touchscreen, do you?
Wait. Most gamers now on mobile.
FPS.
Okay.
You don't play FPSs using a touchscreen.
It's not the right tool for the job.
Exactly.
So what do you think the right tool for the job for the target market of MacBook users is?
For current
systems,
for Mac users,
what do Mac users use?
All operating systems now have a very still are designed for pointing devices like mouses and trackpads.
Yeah.
So really, touchscreens will only become something that's essential when our operating systems evolve to that level.
Yeah.
So and to
really
push it, you need to have it.
So a touchscreen is useless at this point.
If Microsoft really pushes for better touch support in Windows, like, much better. It has improved, but even like Fall Explorer now, it has really, really bad touch.
They will get better. They're trying to get better.
They will have to push really hard for it.
And that's the point. They're trying. What's Apple doing? Being lazy.
They gave a stopgap measure.
No, see what Apple's doing because I can't.
They're being safe. They are lying back and waiting for someone else to do the work.
I don't know, they spent 4
safe,
years
actually,
developing
actually playing safe.
The touch
they playing safe. They would just come with hardware updates, like just upgrade SSDs, upgrade
They did that for 4 years.
Yeah, exactly, that's playing safe. Now they are, I don't know what they're doing.
If they didn't change anything, they would also be very bad. Because people
are
starting to like,
still playing safe. They're still playing safe compared to like removing headphone jacks and
removing USB ports
and
HDMI
adding
ports.
A touch bar. Which I honestly,
I guess
at least they added something, but instead of removing it for once, but
they're splitting the market actually.
They're trying out some weird things when they don't
see.
Know
there's
what
gonna be
expecting.
This chunk of the market they are used to no touchscreen, no ports, dongles, and it's gonna be this chunk of market that's used to the touchscreen, useful ports, and like legit high power things.
Right. I switch between your computer, which is a touchscreen, I switch between my phone, which is a touchscreen, and my computer, which is not.
You're not human.
And like.
Not subset human.
So it's the future touch.
Game Boy.
It's the future touch, yes.
The most common devices that we have are touch based, are fully touch.
The future is touch.
Almost,
that
yes,
computers
true.
Are still in the transition gap between normal pointing devices and full touch. They haven't reached there yet.
When did Microsoft release Windows 8? 2012?
No, computers provide 2012.
It's been 4 years since then. We still don't have like proper
yeah.
touch.
It's like Surface Studio is going with
yeah.
that
like,
style with the stylus.
That's
right,
why I said
accuracy.
I like a stylus. Because stylus, you still have that accuracy.
Yeah, exactly. But the future is still touch. Because you still need...
I wouldn't really call it touch, to be honest.
It is still touch.
I don't think...
Do you think using a stylus and a mouse, a keyboard is more intuitive than using a stylus in your hand to like move things around?
I actually prefer stylus and keyboard.
Okay,
why?
First, how would you type on a touchscreen? No, the whole experience is horrible.
Yes. Actually, typing on
a touchscreen using a phone, what?
No, but you see, on a huge touchscreen. Like
on a huge touchscreen.
Like
I haven't typed
that,
larger than a surface.
Yeah,
and
a
surface
true,
is like just small enough that your fingers are cramped. If your fingers have enough space, it might actually be okay.
I'm actually not sure about that one.
I think
screens are like that, vertical right now.
All our screens are currently vertical, so it's
currently
not possible to type
the surface. The
type
surface
touch
yeah, you're right.
Is like that.
Surface
like
Studio allows you to.
I don't know, but the keyboard for like
type.
Okay,
I don't actually think
the typing on touchscreen right now is like an approximation of the physical thing. The thing it lacks is the tactile feedback of actually pressing down the key, which most people rely on to touch type.
Yeah, I touch type.
Well,
yeah.
You know,
but you can vibrate your entire computer.
For
tactile feedback.
But you don't know which key you
press.
You need the tactile feedback for each.
I can touch type on my phone.
I think what better touch type. What touch typing? What really helps my touch typing is that I can feel the border of each key. I know where I'm moving over to the key adjacent.
Okay, I think by the time everything becomes touch,
I touch on the phone by using the border
so
of like the phone.
Speak.
You can
just
no,
speak.
This is mine.
I don't think that would be...
No, okay, so you
by the time everything
speaking
becomes touch,
is a tool of communication. Without like something else talking back to you, it's really hard to actually speak to something, like
right.
a wall. People don't speak to walls for that very reason.
People don't.
Yes.
What?
If
okay.
you have an assistant, that's completely different. But speaking to like close a window is not a thing ever.
Now I realize Microsoft isn't doing much either. It has been 4 years since Windows 8 came out and they still haven't had proper touch support.
Windows 10 now.
Everything's Windows 10 now.
It's almost okay. Windows 10 update 2 already.
And now there's the creators update?
Yeah, that's the second big update. The first
yeah.
was the anniversary update that was in July.
Yeah,
and, right?
So the Windows 10 update, creators update recently released with like, basically Microsoft did a lot of integrations for 3D printing and VR headsets.
And
drawing? Yes, drawing.
The stylus touch basically.
I'm gonna be upfront.
Together with that, they released like
and
the Surface Studio and Surface Book and
the DAO.
The DAO.
Hey, the DAO is.
What's it called again?
The Surface DAO. Yeah.
Why is 3D?
I mean, Paint 3D is fine for people getting into stuff, but I would never use it for.
No, I mean, do you see the software where you could draw it like 3D but 2D?
Yeah.
That actually
looks
really nice.
And they finally updated Paint.
Update the Paint!
Okay, I think we should move on. Yeah. Moving on. Next.
What?
We have a list.
Oh, why not? Let's. HoloLens.
Oh, what about HoloLens?
I haven't heard.
I'm actually going to have a chance to use a HoloLens.
Nice.
When?
November 26th. IEEE Hard Tech Conference. Microsoft is bringing the HoloLens.
Nice. Anything changed?
I think it's still the same.
Like,
it
from
looks,
the last.
The picture looks still the same.
It looks really cool.
Conceptually, anything
for
changed?
Yes.
I don't think so.
I think it's.
They're still slowly developing. Like,
it's a
slowly.
Future technology. It's not going to be done anytime soon.
It's just like holograms.
It's not yet consumerized.
Oh, yeah, it might face the Google Glass failure. But yeah.
Actually, no, I think
we should start talking about
the
idea hacks.
The future is probably like neural assistant.
Oh, we went to Idea Hacks over the weekend.
You have, like,
yes, I
didn't.
Yeah, so we went to Idea Hacks, which is this student-organized hackathon in United World College, Southeast Asia, Dover facility here in Singapore. And yeah, it's a really long name. So
United World College, Southeast Asia. That's
yes. So we didn't win anything, but we did a lot of stuff. So we'll have we'll be talking about that now.
Right.
So Jia Sheng made this thing called Memories.
Wait, first, we managed to put 14 people from our school in total to go.
Yeah,
not including
amazing.
Us. 14.
Actually, originally Shihan and like the other guys who put us into it, right?
No.
Yes.
No. UWCSCA, if you're listening, my commission should be in the mail. Thank you.
Hey, it's fine, it's fine, it's fine, it's fine, it's fine,
fine, fine. Fine, Maker Force. We'll go to the Maker Force fund.
Okay.
Yes, thank you very much. I'll be waiting for it.
Yes,
waiting for your email. Yeah, so we're going to talk about the projects that we made. First things first, we didn't get sleep. Second thing,
we got like about
two hours.
Yeah,
Ambrose got 2 hours. I got 3 hours. Second thing, the food was really good.
Yeah.
And any gripes?
Isaac's
food.
The food was
so
good.
So
good food ever. It was the best hackathon food I've eaten
ever. They had like proper like plates, not like plastic throwaway plates.
No. It's plastic plates, but it's not plastic throwaway plates.
Yeah.
They
had this one roll for normal food and that one roll for desserts.
Yeah, I think it's cooked by them, right?
It's cooked in-house by Sodexo.
It's pretty good.
Yeah, it was really nice. Some of the best food. Good job.
Private schools for the win.
Private schools. Also very expensive.
Yes.
Yeah.
It's also nice that we didn't have to pay. That was really good.
Yeah. Their location was also quite legit. There's extension cords hanging from the ceiling. This is the first I've seen at the hackathon. And they also had, what was that? They were basically throwing snacks at us.
Oh,
yeah. They were like, literally.
They rationed it at the start, and then started throwing it out after a while.
That was a really, the hackathon by itself was pretty fun.
Yeah.
Like, the organization was commendable. Yeah.
Yeah.
So, Josh, why don't you tell us about the project?
Daniel can do it.
Daniel? Okay.
Well,
Daniel, come on.
Fine, okay. Jiacheng here wants to do hipster Instagram. When instead of organizing things along a temporal flow, he organizes it based on the fickle thing that's called the human memory. So basically, if a bunch of people are in the same place, are at the same place at the same time, we can be and then they are also at other places at the same time together in the same. As in the same photo, it can be assumed that they go to such things as a group. So, if they are in something at some time, it can be considered an event. And then this group of them doing something in that particular event can be considered a memory. And that's how the photos are organized and fed back to the user, rather than just when they are posted. As in like the most popular also image posting sites do, like timelines.
So it's basically an image classification kind of thing.
Yes.
If you have used Google Photos,
wow, jinx.
It's similar in a way that Google Photos is able to give you faces. Give you all the photos of this person based on its recognition of faces. But the idea was to group it based on events and memories. So it's meant to give you nostalgia, that's it. Yeah.
Oh yeah, continuing from him, he mentioned detecting faces. I'm not so sure if it rises it, but we have to do our own algorithm, implement it, and do a cross-language binding because the library we're basing it on from is in C.
Could you like
yes,
he's Google Photos guy or something?
He's amazing, right? It's here.
Okay, so since this is a technical podcast, can you explain the technical details?
OpenCV
was down the day of Hackathon.
And then Ambrose, you can tell him what he did wrong.
Oh, yeah. Wait, what? Since when do I know anything that he does?
You explain it if you see anything.
Oh,
okay.
Really
so,
wrong,
the site itself was just a basic like user accounts you feed into the database. It authenticates you if you log in. I didn't hash the passwords because I was lazy. And then it's also just a simple file upload. We use a middleware called Malter. I think it's programmed in Node.js because for hipsters, actually not quiet.
I think Isaac, Ambrose is actually more hipster than Node.js now. He's intense hipsterness.
No.
Okay, so we use a middleware called Malter to help handle our file uploads. Okay, that's basically all we did in the hackathon. I'm not so sure how it took 24 hours to do that, but we did. We also passed the EXIF JPEG data in order to determine the GPS location, which we then reverse geocoded, and then also the time on which it was created.
Nice.
This does have to convince that it only works on JPEG photos whose cameras are fancy enough to like actually include EXIF data, but I'm pretty sure most phones do that nowadays,
Photos that we tested didn't have EXIF data because ran through something else, and a lot of social media sites, they would actually wipe EXIF data.
Yeah.
But we don't. So you see, we're better than most social media sites already.
I think it's actually about privacy.
Yeah, it's
about
privacy.
It's
also
privacy.
Yeah, it's
about
privacy.
Google is spying on you anyway.
How does your OpenTV work?
Jiaxuan wants to base the system on the detection of faces. Now I'm fairly certain that the...
Based on classification.
That the only method of differentiating people within an image is through facial recognition or visual processing of the image. So we use OpenCV, which is like the go-to. So we plan to use GoToCV, which is the go-to library for OpenCV, which is the go-to library for
Get GoToCV today.
Yes, continue.
For such visual processing things, now OpenCV has a fairly established node module, which also affords face detection capabilities. Note the term face detection as opposed to face recognition. So while we can detect that there's indeed, yes, this number of faces inside the photo, we cannot tell whose faces it belongs to. So as such, we need to implement our own algorithm. For example, the urban faces or facial faces algorithms to differentiate a face as a unique entity belonging to a unique people, because we are not infinitesimal specks of meaningless dust in this wide, uncaring universe.
I just thought this was an animal.
Yes.
It's
exactly. Yes. Whatever. Yep.
I'm sad now.
So you actually implemented it?
Nope.
Let's get it out.
I'm planning to.
So
we
you were
did.
Planning
not
to implement
open
it.
Open CV was down to the first day.
Oh yeah, blame the DDoS.
Was it?
No, it's not a DDoS.
No, W3 schools was to slow down.
Yeah,
no,
that's
a separate,
one.
Separate thing, separately. They just coincidentally happened to be down.
Wow.
Okay, great. So nature was against them.
Yeah,
so this thing is called memories, right?
We call it memories.
Yeah, what's behind the name?
It's in Reese's Pieces.
We should play that game.
What,
okay. Memory game?
No, not now. Continue. Explain memories.
Yes. The name. We have to play the game.
What game?
Do I have to?
What game?
I don't know what game you're talking about.
The mat.
Okay,
yeah.
Well, we'll figure it out. One more thing.
Come on.
I think the problem with the app is actually the privacy. Don't you think that just recognizing whose face that is a major problem?
Just put that in
Google
photos. No.
Is it detect who's
no,
in the picture?
Yes.
The thing is, it knows that there's this unique
person.
Yeah,
is there that manual tagging?
No. It's automatic.
Now it has automatic.
It always had automatic
for three years.
It's like, it's semi-manual, semi-automatic.
Let me offer this example. If a security guard in a shopping center recognizes you stealing something, he's performing visual recognition. The thing is, he doesn't know who you are, so it's not infringing on your privacy per se. He knows that you're this person who has done this thing.
What is it supposed to be?
But he doesn't know who this person is. And as such, cannot link this person to other things this person is or has done.
Okay, can. Makes sense. Okay, moving on.
Doesn't.
Wow. Jiaxuan figures out about the game.
Can you not say this kind of things? But okay, sure.
I have to say this kind of things.
Wow.
So actually, me and Ambrose are in a separate team because Isaac decided to conveniently not appear. don't even understand why Okay, we still have no idea where Isaac went, so we're not gonna talk about that.
I went to fight spaghetti face monsters.
Yeah, okay, you went to fight monsters. So we made this app called Chronos, and Ambrose had to be hipster and use some weird things that I never understood how they work. So
So I came across this library called Next.js.
Next.js is not hipster.
it was thanks to some people at Kopi.js. Shout out. What it did was it used React together with some scaffold around it so that you could just write a simple page by...
Simple.
So you could write a web page by doing a React...
Wait, what is
React? React is React.js.
React.js, I still don't know how it works.
It's for like animations and responses.
Okay, so Next.js is this framework which combines React and JSX and everything into one single tool, and you can just type this command next and it will just serve your website for you after compiling all your JSX and Babel code.
Okay, you need to explain all those terms one by one.
English.
So,
it's impossible to explain.
Okay, before you explain the infrastructure, can you explain what it does?
Okay.
What does it do?
I'm halfway through that, so wait.
Okay, fine.
What do we see happen?
So how Next.js organizes pager code is by pages. So each page have a separate JavaScript file, and then because it's using React, you can use components everywhere. So everything will be a component, and then you have pages that would render those components. And the thing about Next.js is it does server side rendering for you, and everything. Yes.
Okay, so what
it's
do
we
make?
Block. So what do you mean?
What do you make? What's Chronos?
Oh, so Chronos is a time tracking app. You are better at pitching.
Fine. So basically Chronos is automatic. It's basically a smart timetable. So you know how reminders in like Google Calendar and even Keep and
to-do list
apps basically, they have a reminder functionality where you tell the app specifically when you want it to remind you to do a certain task. So basically you would say something like remind me to do my homework at 2 o'clock tomorrow. Well, we do use those apps, but we realize that there's a problem when you have a lot of these tasks and you have a certain amount of time and you still have to figure out at which specific times you want to do those specific tasks. Like you have to do the time management yourself. There's no app that allows you to automatically allocate time for each task given the amount of time that you're free and the duration of the task itself. And that's what we made. So this is an app that can automatically plan your time out for you. And it's a smart timetable. And yeah,
how it uses the app is that you input like, remind me to do my math homework by Friday. And then it'll automatically place your task in the free time you have in the next week.
Yeah, so...
Have no thought. You don't need to think about when you want to do this. You just ask it and it will tell you when to do it when the time comes.
So really, the problem with the whole way that we did the hackathon is that we didn't manage to implement quite a significant chunk of the features. Because the essential part of this is the automatic part, right? For that to be implemented, first we will need break rejection. Means you have to have... Of course, you don't be working through the night every single day. So you have to have some form of break functionality there to like allow you to take a break and sleep and school. But that's mostly because it was a two-man team. I code very little. So I basically only did a bit of front-end and the landing page, which was kind of helpful in the presentation, and the login page, which was a template. So
yeah.
I did minimal coding, mostly pitching and marketing, and then he was just
playing around with
Next.js.
Yes, I spent the whole hackathon just learning React and Redux and Next.js, yeah.
So,
that
was the problem. We only managed to implement it was fully autonomous. It used a dumb algorithm. It would just slot it at any available
you
slot.
You couldn't edit anything.
You couldn't edit anything. The front end looked...
You couldn't check it off your list.
You couldn't done it. You couldn't... Basically, most of the features are not implemented. But in terms of the idea, I think it was a pretty legit idea.
It was a good idea.
It kind of brought the core idea in the app,
it's a lot like school, it wasn't usable at all. It's a good idea, but it's badly implemented.
It feels like it would be in like a feature that would come into a to-do list app. That would
another kind of to-do list app.
No, I think it'll be in a proper in the existing to-do list app. If someone from like Wonderlist or like
is
listening, they'll probably start.
Yes, please do, and then send me my commission.
Yeah, so it's pretty like obvious and no brainer. It's not obvious.
It's not no brainer.
That is you feature that is actually useful.
Yes.
Does Wonderlist has voice recognition? I saw.
Oh yes, we have voice recognition.
Yeah.
That's something that he implemented, but I don't know why he implemented it. It was not even a basic feature.
It is.
It's not really.
Okay, so you see, if you want to have something automatically plan time for you, you should not have to time out the entire sentence, right?
Yeah, but the first thing, it has to automatically plan the time for you.
Yeah, it did that.
Have you used anything with like
it did
events
that.
And stuff?
Fundamentally, it did that, but it didn't.
You usually don't put input. You don't input a sentence in, they usually like come up like all the task, and then you have your due date, blah blah blah, description, time to do it, people involved.
Okay, so something I did do during the hackathon was to use bit.ai. So that was pretty easy to use. I'm like a really, really bad programmer, so I could use bit.ai really easily, and it was really fun to implement. I just took like a few lines of code and then copied the API. Oh, then I talk about the JSON key.
Oh my gosh,
JSON
no!
Key,
okay, so because bit.ai is not very well done, so they had a horrible way of doing requests from client-side JavaScript, and so they didn't enable cross-site requests. And so they force you to do JSON P, and it made the app include jQuery just for the JSON P functionality.
So bit.io was doing the background and natural language processing on the text that we implement. Use Anyang, right? What's it called, Anyang?
Anyang, yeah.
Yeah, Anyang.
It's a wrapper around the native JavaScript speech recognition APIs.
Yeah, so that was the speech recognition part. It was pretty good, actually.
Yeah, it did
so
well.
The speech recognition and the data, the NLP also known as the best done parts of the project, and then the rest was just
very meh.
I think we should actually work on it with Isaac, because an IBM Bluemix was there, and we completely neglected to use Bluemix.
We should have used Bluemix.
That you should have been there.
Yeah, but I was busy fighting spaghetti monsters.
Sure. Yeah, so that was idea hacks in a nutshell.
Oh yes! Who was the guy from God of War? The game? Who's the main character?
Kronos.
Ah.
Nah, I'm just kidding. It's Kratos.
Aww. Close.
What attempt was that?
Was it Kratos God of War, if I remember correctly?
Wait, was it?
Let them check. So yeah, and a few other teams went, and one of the team actually won. So the app was called Note So Simple, right?
Yeah.
Yep. Basically, it's the app that classifies notes for you according to like its key.
According to subject.
They
use Bluemix and the Watson to analyze the text
and
classify it based on subject. So it was mainly kid as subjects like. It would recognize if it's physics or bio or chemistry, and then sort it.
And then also link topics for you, which would aid revision and kind of things.
Yeah.
So they actually want
cool.
that.
It's kind of hard
to
imagine. Example.
Like, you would have, like, it's sort of like, the idea is, say you're in a bio lesson, right? And then you just type out the notes that you have, right? And then it would be a note. And then physics lesson, you type out physics notes, and chem lesson, you type out chem notes. And then across a lot of lessons, it just uses Watson to analyze the text to know that, oh, this is physics, and then you can classify under physics, and you automatically classify under physics. And for one click, I guess it will show you all the physics ones. Was it Watson?
Yeah, it was Watson.
It's like you manually.
They use
Watson.
They won the IBM Watson Award, remember?
Oh, yeah.
It's like physics, chem, or bio, and after that, it will slowly become automatic. Or does it just like go from.
Automatic straight away. I think the next keywords.
Not sure what they did.
I don't know, they did magic.
They
have
a four-man team.
I'm pretty sure Bluemix had.
But the team was interesting. They were like, there was four people working on one Android app at once.
Yeah. Which is quite interesting.
The kid must have been like cancer.
Yeah, so I think if we had properly used Bluemix, Isaac had come and then offloaded some of Ambrose's work. And then
you'll still be playing with Nix, yes.
No, I won't be. You'll be doing some.
I'll be doing
thing.
The Android app.
Yeah.
You'll still be playing with Nix.
No, because at the start.
No,
this...
I can't use Nix.js for backend. It's just a front end backend.
Yeah, I know,
combination.
It's a front end, but you'll still be playing with it, won't you?
But the thing is, right, if
yeah.
we had come, we were actually thinking of doing the Android and then the web backend thing. But then because it didn't come, we went full web, which is a problem because most of them use to do this on your phone. Most of you do, right?
Wait, your UI looked really well in that weird. You should just pretend that it was mobile. So
yeah, it was. We did show.
I don't know about it looked very well, but it looked mobile.
It looked mobile.
It was. It was designed mobile first.
Yeah.
There was no desktop.
Oh, but it was. It's not a native.
Yeah, it's not.
Yeah, it's not
a native.
I guess you could throw a wrapper around it, but nah.
Yeah.
Because you want to have the data stored on your phone and be able to access it no matter where you
yeah.
are on the internet.
Mm. But then you have to log in, and then Ambrose cannot make any logins.
What?
Ever.
Yeah, I think we might actually continue working on
and like logging across multiple devices.
So are you guys
yeah.
going to continue working on memories?
Yeah,
so
it's been doing for the past 2 days.
Nostalgia.
We have?
Yeah.
We are still
you
working
have?
On it?
Yeah.
It's not even at that same. It's not.
No. I'm doing a separate photo, testing out the OpenCV libraries.
He's playing OpenCV basically.
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, wow.
That's great.
Great. So we're gonna continue working on it. Why does every project we do become a long term project?
No.
No, not really.
Chronos is a good project.
Yeah, Chronos is a good project.
Dude,
but
you
didn't have a calendar. You guys put everything into a giant list.
It could
you
be
guys,
like one of those side projects that you work on.
You guys
and it is released open source.
A lot editing. Yeah.
Yeah.
And
I guess
then you disrupt the market.
No, there's not much market for Twitter.
Are you sure?
you
there's a market,
okay.
There's a market for everything.
In terms of revenue.
But yeah.
That's
actually not much.
Okay.
Revenue wise, no. But you can get a lot of people to use it.
Yeah, I guess. But
people will want to use it over like
Just wait for Google to buy it.
That's
how you get money.
No, but that's very unlikely.
Google buy these sort of apps for the engineers.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
That's
how they usually do things.
Yeah. That's what they do,
particularly
timely.
No, we'll.
Firebase.
Other things. Yeah, Firebase.
But Firebase, they bought it for the tech. The user base.
They bought it for the, yeah.
User base, yeah.
They can buy it for user base, though, yeah. I mean, it'll be a good app to just release for profile. Yeah, they can integrate Chronos in the Keep.
Chronos Keep.
Or they can just code in the feature.
Keep APIs.
What?
They don't Keep APIs.
No, as in
they
can, Google
buy
can
oh,
buy
Google
it and integrate it.
Yeah.
So I think it should be a good project to work on, like as a side project. More projects. Too many projects.
But it is a good idea.
But you have to,
it is a good idea.
They could just copy the idea, you know?
Yeah, they could. I'm not saying
it's
a
you have
that.
To pay them in order to get anything.
I'm not gonna bother fighting the army of lawyers.
Yeah, so
they'll
just copy your
I'll just put it up before them, and then I'll just use it as a resume thing.
Sure.
They can't kick me out because I'm not actually selling anything. I'm just having it there.
I might as well
tell all my like AI plans and then just like call it.
Yeah, you can say it. You can if you as long as you release it before them, you can have some amount of right over.
Oh yeah.
Some. Not a lot.
I can't wait for that.
It's like the cheap way to patent things, you send yourself an email about with the idea. And then you have reference to prove that you came up with the idea before someone else
yes.
did.
You could.
Cryptographic.
I still don't want to fight an army of lawyers though.
I mean, it's just for resume and just for resume. And for me to learn JavaScript. Yes, I learned JavaScript on Twitter and I got 5 likes. Amazing. I've never gotten 5 likes before. Just kidding. Amazing.
No.
Yep.
No. Yeah, while we're talking about Google, shall we talk about X?
No.
Google X?
It's just called X now.
Oh yeah, right. That's
SpaceX.
Alphabet.
It's X. It's just X.
How did it get a name?
Google X, I think X has always been associated with like mystery projects in the in like science fiction and things.
Yeah, I know.
Project X.
How did they get a name?
Project X.
But how did they get a name? Imagine the applying for the
trademark.
You'd be like X.
I don't know
whether the
wait, you're right, you're right.
That's
interesting.
I mean, if it was me, I would just try out every letter.
Yeah, exactly. Someone
no, but you have no precedent to trademark every letter. You have no reason for it. They won't just let you.
Yeah, AI for each letter. Call one letter to be that hard.
A, B.
Alright, so X. They have this, like, their X is this, like, rapid development place at Google or Alphabet. Where they
called it something else last time.
Alphabet.
It was called Google X.
Oh.
Yeah.
Never mind.
So I guess since they renamed their parent company to Alphabet, and then they'll just call their X because Alphabet's never.
Yeah, quite a lot of nice stuff has come out of X.
Alphabet
the
X.
The self-driving car.
How did they
pick
Alphabet? How did it
trim up Alphabet? Project Loon?
Project Loon, yes.
The
Ara Glass.
Ara? I'm not.
Ara was
Ara
X.
Ara is
though.
X, right? Ara was
Indian. Oh, Loon is the touch.
Loon, the balloon one. The balloon internet one.
Oh.
And then there's also Makani, the wind generator that isn't a usual generator. Yeah, the plane.
That plane, yes.
Yes, that is really interesting.
Yeah,
we'll just link all of that on. This link access page on.
And
like,
yeah, so the
like
point
study,
of that is that X does this fail fast model where their employees come up with ideas and they just find ways to make it fail as fast as possible.
No, we should really
they,
adopt that model.
We should.
Yes, we should.
And if they find something that would really cripple that idea, right, they would just drop the whole idea.
We should do that.
So that's just me then.
So what they do is just they just
and
keep throwing things at it
so.
and if it just manages to survive, it survives. So that's why now they have the self-driving car and like Loon. Those are like a few things that survived.
What was Solly the radar?
Solly, I don't know, it was I.O. 2 years ago already.
Yeah, one of the first one.
Yeah, and then that was like gone. Solly is the radar and the watch that they showed off.
Symmetra.
Oh, last year's I.O. right? That's, yeah. They had a prototype.
Yeah. I think really they're sensing gestures, right?
Yeah, sensing like finger gestures.
The best way to do that
like
is the meal, really. Just reading the news.
The
meal
gives you very rough gestures, like only specific, yeah, not the accurate 2 millimeter.
Really, you can make it accurate.
The Solly one was accurate, right?
Yeah,
Solly one was really good,
but the
meal
wasn't.
It was like
an
image, basically.
The meal is more general gestures.
Neural assisted
touchscreens, yes.
Now neural assisted typing.
Soon TM.
Like you make a typo, it just automatically correct you.
Sure.
You can just make it read your mind.
I think if Solly was actually in the new Android Wear smartwatches, it might.
Oh,
Android Wear platform actually take off.
Oh, Solly and Android Wear, but
yeah, that's what they showed off. But that was the whole point of Solly, to have it and watch, and then just do like
the
touchscreen watches. It's like you only have one button there. Anything more is like
oh, they should. They should.
Yeah, if they can do it, it will take off.
How about
the fabric one?
What was that called?
I have no idea what was it called, but it was a fabric one.
Yeah, they made touch sensitive clothes.
Yeah.
Fabric.
Nice.
And you just like touch yourself.
Okay. Okay, put that as a watch strap and you have like
a watch strap,
there.
Yeah. Nice.
Yeah, that's a good idea.
Only a sleeve.
Google sleeve.
You have Google Watch, I have Google Sleeve.
Software.
Well, it's never the Google Watch.
Stop installing sleepwear.
The Google Watch, now whatever.
Hey, will Google make a watch under the Pixel brand?
Oh, they might.
Pixel Watch.
It'll just be a single pixel.
The Pixel.
Hey, they could like call it Pixel XS.
Oh, hey, maybe. That's why. Why did they name it the XL?
Pixel XL, Pixel XS.
Oh. Oh yeah, yeah, that would be ghost naming. If you call it
Whatever.
So much to chase of that.
So another related news, I got a hot air rework station.
Yes.
It's not really related.
Completely related to Google.
Hot air rework, yes.
Yes, it's really good, especially when you're doing really fine SMD soldering stuff. And it's also very good for desoldering. I managed to desolder my Hero's connector that I soldered onto the previous one.
Oh yeah, that's a big pain. You once you solder Hero's, you never ever can remove it with standard iron.
Yep, it really will help out. And also it's reasonably quiet, I think. I mean, it's... Do you hear that?
Reasonably quiet.
It's actually fine.
It's quiet for
a hot air rework station.
It's not like giant flat fans flaring
at especially at the cost.
Yes.
How much did you get it for?
It's 200. It's actually a pretty good brand. ProSkit is a US brand.
Hmm.
Yeah, so second hand, so it's really worth the price. It's an integrated rework and a soldering iron. I needed to change my soldering iron anyway. It was a very cheap Ehua, $20 Hobby King.
Yeah, you did a review last time.
I did?
Yes, you did.
Okay, yeah, go. I'll link the review down below. I should do a review of this too, so that'll be coming up in soon TEM next week.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But like, I've just did Raspberry Pi that I don't know why it's dead.
Should I just...
I tried, but no, it worked after that for a while, but then it stopped working suddenly. So should I try restoring it?
I thought you tried to... sold a true hole resistor.
Yeah, I sold a true
hole. Didn't you not rip off the pad something?
Yeah, I sold it back. It worked.
So you sold it back
suddenly,
the pad.
I sold it back the true hole resistor to the last bit of the pad left there. But then it suddenly stopped working after using it for like a while. When I turned it off, I couldn't turn it on again. And yeah. Dead Pi.
I think
it's a Pi Model B from the first generation.
Yeah, there's not gotten a Pi 0 or Pi C yet.
Pi C?
It's Pi C?
Is it called Pi C?
No, it was the Pi B Plus.
No, Pi Model C.
Isn't
that the one with Wi-Fi and Bluetooth?
No, it's
Model
called 3. The 2B Plus. Oh, Model 3, yeah, it's a
Model 3.
Model
3, yeah, yeah.
You got it wrong, come on.
3, fine. Model 3.
It's the Pi Model 3.
Yeah. The one that buys
Pi
Bluetooth.
No, that's actually nice. Oh, I've some... What was it that I saw?
I think I saw it somewhere. I think... It's actually quite cool, and in terms of, it's like,
Oh, yes.
It's an Intel, It's like an Intel Edison XM, not for Intel Edison purposes.
Yes.
You know, like, it's not for IoT, really. It's the graphical processing. It's for the graphical processing stuff.
You mean GPU stuff?
Yeah, GPU. So it needs the graphics.
Oh yes, do you see the new Orange Pi?
Oh god, the tilted components.
Yeah, there's the tilted chips. Like
tilted.
30 degrees, not 45.
It's like...
30 degrees.
No. I cringe every time I look at it.
That's just why.
It's not art.
It's not
a disgrace. It's a disgrace. It's functional,
yeah,
but like, no.
No,
yeah, but
you have
someone
to interpret the meaning behind
exactly.
It.
It's going against the norm.
Yes, it's like this statement beyond the confining rigor of today's design standards. It's a statement against merely following these guidelines.
Yeah, it's
and sacrificing functionality.
You need 3D.
For
there's literally no functionality. But sure.
Yeah.
There's a lot of these kinds of random bots coming out, like the Intel Ju, Raspberry Pi 3, Orange Pi, and then the Banana Pi. Banana Pi also exists, right?
The Apple Pi.
The Apple Pi.
Oh yeah, there's a Banana Pi somewhere.
You get sued by Apple.
Wait, what's
Banana
Pi? it's the Orange Pi.
Yeah.
But no, they only recently released the Orange Pi. What was the new
one? I think it's
the
newer version.
PC something.
Yeah, they released a new Orange Pi recently. That's why they... With the tilted chips.
Yep.
Yeah,
like, I don't know.
You
don't
have a bought one.
As long as they handle the signal interference at the PCB joint, it's probably fine. But it's just very... This is usually fine, but it's just very...
Orange Pi.
Tilted.
I don't know what you're expecting.
You can never search it up on Google.
For the record, he googled orange pie, and it
gave the orange pie tilted.
Yeah,
tilted.
I give it cookies. This is a sign.
Google Images is the best.
Google Images is really bad.
It indexes the pages that contain the photos. It doesn't index the photos. So you see.
But they have reverse search, I like.
Yeah, I like the reverse search, nice. You can, like, you can.
I'm
so
sure I have, like, 100 year old downloads that I don't know where they're from.
No.
Yep.
Let's talk about
spaghetti.
All cars.
Tesla.
All cars.
You mean
Tesla.
Guy?
Powerwall.
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 That's the solar
and,
power.
And Tesla things.
Solar power monitoring thing.
You know,
right?
Tesla in oh not just Tesla, electric cars in Norway is really really popular. I think it's like 3% of all vehicles.
3%.
That is like
that's
you look at one junction of 100 cars and you'll see 3 electric cars.
I mean, you can't really
it
see.
It has the highest penetration
glow
rate in the world. And it is all because like the government gave a lot of
incentives
early on for electric cars. Like, they could drive in the bus lanes.
Wow.
And free parking in the public car parks.
Wow. Whoa.
So yeah, it was really good. And now there's too many
change.
And people are complaining. And then
why are people complaining?
Because there's too many cars in the bus lanes and there's too many Teslas taking up public parking spots.
You can reduce it.
And so now they are rolling by the incentives. So
but at least they got it rolling.
Yeah, at least they started.
Nice.
And now there's a very good supercharger network by Tesla in Norway, just because of the high market penetration there.
Mm-hmm.
But then you see, right, Singapore is almost like in desperate need of electric car revolution.
They should try.
Having so many roads and so many cars, it's just the fumes. It's just walking by the road. Now you're used to it most of the time, but
China
it smells really
bad.
Well,
mini China. Mini China, that's nice. I mean, even the range of the car won't be a problem in Singapore.
Yeah, in Singapore it's so small.
Yeah,
you could like
exactly.
Do your daily commute
and
for like
never
a
ever,
whole week.
You never ever miss. There will never ever be a lack of charging.
Yeah,
stations.
Yeah. Supercharger,
you could, it will be.
Even if there's only one, everyone
plenty.
Can access.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so
yeah.
I don't know what the government was doing, but they made.
They, if they
some
do the free parking in Singapore, everyone will start buying cars.
You cannot stop it anymore. Unstoppable. And everyone gets free parking.
Yeah.
I think what I read, right, I'm not sure exactly, but I think when Tesla wanted to introduce their cars in Singapore, the government didn't even want to give them an incentive for a cash rebate.
Why?
I thought Singapore was a green country.
Yeah, exactly. I thought it was a green country.
I don't know. Someone, a friend, suggested that it might be that Singapore doesn't even want any cars.
That's true. We have
oh,
COE
yeah.
Atop cars.
They do not want cars at all.
Yeah, I think that was mentioned in the urban planning lesson, right, Isaac?
Yeah.
I mean, Singapore, they want everyone just to take public transport. That was
yeah,
not type 3 one, but
electric buses.
Most.
A lot
of people
recently.
Because really, the urban planners in Singapore put a lot of effort into the transport like planning kind of stuff.
Yeah, MRT.
The MRT and the buses are really, really good, so you might as well use it.
Yeah.
It's even better than using electric cars to some extent, especially when they change the buses to electric buses, then boom. You have like a really, really good economically friendly? What? No, environmentally friendly.
Yeah, because it's like public transport on top of electrical cars. We find both very good for the environment.
So yeah, you can get rid of cars completely, then basically Singapore will be the future. Singapore is also a very good place, a testing ground for like futuristic technologies, especially in terms of transportation and self-driving cars and stuff.
Unfortunately, yeah. Like those startups are all in Silicon Valley, so they're not
yeah.
coming down here.
Well, we have one local company called Newtonery.
Yeah, they do it in a one north area.
Yeah, so they're experimenting these self-driving cars that
Their goal is to operate a taxi fleet of self-driving cars.
Yeah, and if they became, if they changed their cars to electric cars, they would.
I think they are.
Are they electric? Wait.
Those are hybrids, I think. I'm not sure.
Oh, but if they change their cars to electric and you'll have this self-driving fleet of electric cars and it'll be super...
Tesla is working on self-driving
fleet
of electric cars. Since like October 16 or something like that, all their cars produced had full self-driving capability, hardware capability. Like all it would take is a software update.
Nice.
We can't do soft cars yet, which is sad.
And it would be self-driving. And so like the idea is that in a year or maybe two, they would have fully developed a self-driving software capabilities, and then it would just be an OTA update, and suddenly tens of thousands of cars would already be self-driving.
But what kind of hardware
do
they have on the Tesla?
There are a lot of cameras. It's all vision based.
So
there's no LiDAR. Vision plus ultrasonic, I think.
Well, why would they ultrasonic?
Because LiDAR is generally very expensive.
In case you're driving in China.
They have quite a few.
a lot of China jokes I just saw.
There's a very handy like diagram on the Tesla website. Like I think it's like 8 cameras or something like that.
I think I'm really interested to know how they're actually doing the visual processing from the back.
I guess they're still working on it.
Self-driving is not that hard.
With vision,
autonomy can do it. So
autonomy is just LiDAR.
LiDAR is pretty much vision.
Yeah, but it's
just that it's not as, like, many.
It's laser, right, its range is actually two distant factors, and you just make a point cloud, but vision is, like, you don't really get distance value.
LiDAR is, like, range finding,
not
actual
stereoscopic. It's at different points, but not, it's, like, eyes on both sides of...
Ultrasound.
Yeah, they're using ultrasound also.
Okay, so
they're probably doing marking detection on the roads, like the site.
But then the car won't work in space when you use ultrasound.
Space what?
Okay, Tesla Autopilot 2.0 hardware.
It is an edge case.
Tesla Autopilot 2.0 hardware. A narrow forward camera, 250 meter distance.
Mm-hmm.
Main forward camera, 150 meter distance. Wide forward camera, 60 meter maximum distance that it can see. So it's a narrow angle all the way to wide angle cameras. Three that are forward facing, and then a radar that's forward facing.
Oh, radar. Yes.
Radar. Forward looking side cameras. So I think these are the cameras that are mounted on the mirrors, the side mirrors.
Can get rid of side mirrors.
Yeah, the original Model S actually was supposed to get rid of side mirrors. Oh, Model X. And then it was not legal, so... ultrasonics on the sides. Rear view camera. And then two more rear view cameras.
Hmm.
Nice. That's a lot of cameras, yes.
And the rumor is that they partnered with NVIDIA to make their computing system, their hardware, their... computer.
That's like a cost for NVIDIA self-driving cars.
Yeah, I think they, like, yeah, with their GeForce 10 series cards, they announced this board for the start purposes. So it's probably that.
Cool.
Teslas have been hacked before.
Yeah.
It's all based on hardware access. So if that guy gets his hands on and the new Autopilot 2.0 hardware, he might feel the heck to get something faster than Tesla does.
What was that guy who was doing
that guy
his
was
own
really
self?
Cool. Yeah.
Who was the guy? What's his name?
Which one are you talking about?
The guy who did his own self-driving car.
Yeah. I think he's gonna start a Kickstarter.
He was gonna start a Kickstarter to sell
the hardware. Not sure what it is.
As an add-on kit, he would just buy the hardware and put it on your car and boom,
You have to do some major modifications, like rip out the dashboard and things.
Yeah.
You know, we should really start open source project for that.
Self-driving cars?
It's not very easy.
Open source, the software, you provide open source hardware parts, I can sell it, like, it's like a 3D printer community, you know, like,
Yes. Print your own self-driving car.
But you need to own a car.
Like, it's a 3D printer community.
Plus, you need to own a car.
Come on, US, everyone owns a car.
Yeah,
someone
much.
Too.
Yeah.
Most. Actually,
2-year-olds on the car. 2-year-olds on the car. Those toy.
Yeah, yeah. You make those cars self-driving. It's very easy. Yeah,
but
so
the thing is, when a majority of the cars become self-driving, then they have to push on that software or swap self-driving cars.
But almost all of them have to be self-driving for that to happen, right? Because if you want a swarm,
yeah,
if there's even one that doesn't obey the swarm, then there's going to be a lot of
problems. Obviously, you still need...
It's not a completely contained swarm. It's still...
It's
detects its surroundings.
But it's so that when you have... So that you have two cars, like, going to intersect, you know that they are...
Time it.
You can time it and you can, like, make way.
Yeah.
You can extrapolate the paths and then figure out collision before they happen.
And
like what they do in air crash. They should do that.
Like, just make it so that each... The sum of everything is the most efficient route.
And if they manage to get everything to self-drive, then we could have 4-way intersections without any...
Yes.
If you can get all of the cars to self-driving, you can get rid of signal lights, you can get rid of intersections, you can get rid of, a lot of signal lights. You can get rid of rear view cameras. You can get rid of anything that's mirrors in general.
Just be like, phew.
But going back to Jiang's point...
You can close your, like, front.
Our government seems to be doing not much on...
They're doing a lot of the smart nation IoT.
They really don't want cars.
Yeah, but what would they replace cars with?
Public transport.
Public transport. They're
but
really trying very hard to make buses better.
So you have roads.
So they basically want everyone to take buses.
The only thing that public transport can't replace is the cargo. Transporting the cargo.
You could have buses that only carry cargo.
Yeah, exactly. So we'll
say. like basically you have a bunch of people that want to go places, you can just plan around.
Delivery system.
So you can have self-driving buses.
Delivery system that is owned by the government.
Just
mail.
No, but how about construction? Deconstruction.
No, the thing is, if you have an IoT in our system, you can have... You don't need bus stops either.
People will want to... You have to keep stopping.
Not
every, like, 10 meters.
No.
Somehow we want to get off. If we're talking about that. Are you talking about that?
Not really. Yeah, something like that, but
you can choose
not
exactly
really.
Where
you don't have, like, one building, two building, like...
You might have some optimizations to do that,
though. The people want to get off at the point closest to where they get off. So I have a target group of people who wish to get off at successive points. The thing is, they and the system don't have any idea that the others are going off at successive points.
No, but buildings are not like 10 meters from each other. Like,
we are in city centrals.
Very short,
10 meters.
Okay, fine, every 20 meters.
But even like 50 meters is a very short distance.
Yeah, and you have to keep stopping.
You can swim
there.
No, it's like per buildings.
Per building is a lot of time.
It's a lot, but it's not that much.
Imagine like driving through like Marina Bay and stopping at every single building. You'll never get to the other end.
Before the day ends.
Eventually.
I guess you can write some optimizations to choose like based on just cluster people in the manner that's efficient.
I think
if you're easy enough, they can tell you when to get off.
But then you have to...
Then you don't know when to get off.
Your most preferred stop and they'll just throw you 50 meters away.
Yeah, exactly. That's what I'm saying.
Everyone else in within that 100 meter
range.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, all cars brought up is that you won't know where to get off, right?
What?
Because, like, you want to go there...
You could just specify a route in advance. And you can have this fleet of self-driving cars
that's not
that
intuitive.
Are... electric and then everyone in taxis, what?
No, the thing is, the thing about public transport is that you are serving a lot of people at once. That's why it's eco-friendly.
Yes.
Then you could have buses,
but... you need flexible buses, which is never thought of. That's why I really can't think of anything
on
this spot.
Oh, no, do you
want
me teleportation?
I'm working on that.
Solved.
Not yet. The problem with teleportation is that that's the deconstruction kind and the portal kind. The key construction kind has the very philosophical questions that I don't want to answer. The portal kind is really hard because relativity.
Yeah. I think that's about it actually.
Yeah, I know.
It's really wrong.
That's a wrap.
I think that's a wrap.
We've already been talking for a long. So, that's it for today's episode. I still don't know what the episode title is, Ambrose.
I guess you can come up with one right now.
X.
Future.
Future.
This
is X.
The end.
No, it can't be the first episode of the second episode.
Beginning of the end.
The end.
Yep, beginning of the end. Okay, so we're gonna go with that.
Beginning of the end, okay.
Symbolizing Donald Trump winning the elections.
Yay!
Yes. Thank you very much, and that's
it
from the Make a Floor show.
See you next time, if there's such a thing.
Yeah, okay, that's it.
You know you never
Make
actually
a podcast is now banned in the United States.
You know you never actually activated the mute.
I know.
Yeah, you didn't activate the mute.